Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm multitasking here this morning, doing my best I can. You know, when you come down here, some of you have been in my multi-million-dollar studio down here. When you come down into this multi-million-dollar studio, my setup is I got a computer that I run the show off of, and then I have a computer that I bring down with me that I've done my morning preparation on, and I get all stressed out because all of a sudden my touchpad doesn't work. Now, I don't know if you guys know what a touchpad is, but it's that little thing down there that just hit and moves the cursor around. You click, and it doesn't work. So I got a mouse that I'm using to work that computer, and I got a mouse I use to work the other computer. I keep grabbing the wrong mouse. So bear with me here this morning. Really got something want to share with all of us here today, and let's dive in. What is this? Would somebody, Steve Deck, do me a favor? Would you go out and find out what happened to July? Where did July go? Anybody know where that might be? Betty, Jeff, somebody, can you find that for me? We're 3 days into August already. And one of the things that really got me, really kind of tipped off this whole show for me today is for, golly, long time, 30 some years, August 1st, which would have been yesterday, football started. And how much a part of my life that was from the time I was, golly, when did I start playing football? Was I 10? I don't know, maybe 13. I don't know when I first started playing football. By the time I was, let's be fair and say 13 years old, until how old would I have been? 50-something, late 50s. August 1st was first day of football. Think about that. How many years that was? August 1st was 2 days kicked off. Or actually, they were one a days, but football practice officially began on August 1st, at least here in Ohio. And here it's August 1st again. Monday was August 1st, or yesterday, August 2nd would have been the official day when they did it. And I get to thinking about, golly, how much the Lord has changed my heart. If I hadn't looked at the calendar, I wouldn't even have known. And Michelle asked me yesterday, do you miss it? I thought, man, 35, 45, 51, 52, 53 years of my life? Nah, don't miss it. I got thinking about my old buddy, Coach Norm. Coach Norm has been doing it longer than I have. And for the first time ever this year, Coach Norm's not going to coach. He's having some real health problems with his knees. He's going to have two knee replacements. And he always gripes and moans because he gains weight. And he said, I can't get around. And he's really, really having some real, real medical, physical issues with his knees. And he officially, sort of yesterday on Facebook, announced his retirement from coaching football. And it got me reflecting the fact that I never really, I guess I never really retired. I never really had an official retirement. And Coach Norm posted his yesterday. Spencer, if you go there real quick, click on Coach. It just says Coach E. Many of you know him. I tried to get a hold of him this morning, see if he would get in here. I didn't want to time I was going to talk about this. But I tried to I went to his Facebook page. And Spencer, if you can click on that, click on that first thing there, Spencer. The first thing. Yeah. Coach Norm. Bear with me, okay? Norm's my best friend on the face of the earth. Coach Norm just posted something. Basically, after 44 years, I'm calling it quit and thanking all the guys he coached with, he coached for, and yada, 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 yada. And then there were 150 comments. Click on one of those, Spencer. They go on and on and on and on and on. Amazing. The number of guys that old boy touched. And some of you know him, a lot of you know him because you went to Chappaqua with him and you were there when he stood outside Hillary's house and screamed and hollered and yelled called out those four guys at Benghazi, stood out in front of Hillary's and called out their names, Darty Stevens, Woods. And just how unbelievable faithful it was. Spencer pulled up there what I – right to go back, Spencer, you're right there, bud. Right there. What I said about Coach Norm was it goes so much deeper than coaching. I always told everybody any place that Norm Emmett showed up, the atmosphere changed. It was never about you. It was always about others, and your attitude oozed out on everyone around you. I know that any success that was credited to me could never have been done without loyal assistant coaches like Norm and Mark Collier and those who truly understood what team was all about. Folks, I'm going to stop right there. Most people have no idea what team is about. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you the truth. Hear me. Our pastors have no idea what team is about. Not really. Norm does. I don't think I'd ever be possible to have a better friend than Norm Emmett's. And when you look in the dictionary under the word loyal, you'll find a picture of him. And Coach Norm and I, we go back to, I first met Norm about 1975, 76. We were both beer drinking coaches. He coached at Centerburg High School. I was an assistant coach at Mount Vernon, got to know him then. And when I went to London in 1990, we reunited. And Norm was, he'd been the head football coach at their London High School when I came in. And we became team teachers in the classroom, both taught special education, handicapped children. And after a year of teaching together, Norm said, I think I want to coach. I'd like to get back in and work with you, coach. And it changed my life. Norm says, I changed his, it changed mine. And my goodness, what a partnership we had over 20, I don't even know how many years that we were together. Now he's going to get going to get his knee surgery now, and then another knee surgery, double knee surgery, and I got thinking about Norm because I was thinking about Randy. I finally got a call through to Randy. That's not true. Finally, Randy called me yesterday, and I've been careful not to call Randy Lunsford because I didn't want to bother him. You know, he'd been really, really sick. So Randy called me. I'd texted him a few times. I'd left him a message or two on the phone, I think. And I just didn't want to bother him. And he calls me yesterday. And Randy's Randy. Randy's always Randy. But he sounded good. He sounded better. And it lifted my spirits to hear him sounding so good. And, yeah, he's getting over it. And, you know, how he's fighting through it and all that. Randy started to cry. I said, Randy, man, you're so important to all of us, or something along that line. He says, Coach, he said, I've never been part of a fellowship like we have on that show. The number of people who have called me, texted me, praying for me. I was in church my whole life. You walk into a church and you know a guy and you do small talk with him and he goes his way after church is over and you go your way after church, and we call that fellowship and we call that assembling together. And that's not assembling. And I just know, even right here, as I look at the 107 of us that are in here, I took 5 minutes and said, hey, tell us what's going on in your life, it would be unbelievable what we would hear. Highs and lows, the realities of life, walking through that path that the steps are ordered by the Lord and he delights in our way. He takes us through some heavy bush, doesn't he? Some heavy brush, some heavy bushes. But I just wanted to acknowledge to all of you that Randy appreciates y'all. And I know Norm appreciates y'all. And I know Jeff Nell does because he gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch it. I want you to think about that. He gets up every morning at 4 o'clock. Coach Norm. Coach Norm just checked in. Can you hear me? Just give me a thumbs up if you can hear me. Yeah. Coach, you're muted. You have to. I don't know if you can or not, Norm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go. So, Coach, I don't know if you caught the beginning of the show, man. I was talking about your retirement and talking about, golly, the laudatory comments from people on Facebook over your post was absolutely unbelievable. And the comment that I made was that when you look up loyalty in the phone booth, you see, I'm sorry, phone booth. You look up loyalty in the dictionary, you see picture Norm, Coach Norm. If you read down those hundreds and hundreds of comments, it's the same thing over and over and over. So, Coach, I just wanted to take a few minutes here this morning and honor you on, I'm glad we're doing this before you're dead.
Amen.
Honor you on the 44 years, man. I was just saying 44 years of August 1st, first day of getting after it, 44 years, and for the first time, you're not getting after it. And physical reasons, your knees, all that stuff. But Coach, just take a few minutes here and just kind of share your thoughts here this morning. Hey, Coach, these guys in here love you, man. These guys in here love you.
Well, the
Amen.
Can you hear me, Coach?
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Well, it was a little bit different yesterday, but, you know, I think the Lord had me ready for this back in November when I gave up coaching and knew that I need to have some surgery done. In fact, I know he knew I had to have some surgery on my knees. But, you know, as I read all those things, and I made sure that I asked them to bring up any special moment or whatever. And it's good to reminisce about that. But, you know, as I was sitting here and I listen to you guys every day, what comes to mind is I'm staring at a left tackle, Larry Richardson. And I look over in the top right-hand corner and there's a quarterback, Jeff Klein. And I know Jeff, you got 110 people here. And as I look here, as I'm staring at that, this is the true team. And this is a team of guys, just as you did in football, that you brought together, 110 of them. And I know that Larry and Jeff and Mark and Mike and all those people would lay down their life for you. And just as in coaching, as I coached all those thousands of people and had those teams and that, you're on the best team right now, God's team.
Amen.
And as I wrote all that stuff and trophies and championships and all that, Coach Tressel from Ohio State used to always talk about he didn't care about anything, any trophy, except going to be with the Lord. And that's how I look at it, and that's all nice stuff. But as I look at this team, and I follow what you guys have been doing, what you've been saying, your actions. And I told Coach yesterday, I'm in a quandary. And I need to be shaken up out of this quandary. The last 3 months have been tough because I wanted to get out. I wanted to be with you. I wanted to be with you guys. Retired from coaching, I knew that I could go out and do some of the things and be with you and maybe stretch my voice out a little bit and all that. But But I couldn't because of my feet and my knees and all that stuff. So I'm in a quandary, and it's just interesting that Coach asked, and there's Clay up there. He'd be a right guard because he's tougher than nails. And you have your strong safety there too, old Brett. But I'd like for you guys maybe to pray over me a little bit and just break me out of this funk, break me out of this quandary. I look so forward to being with you in June and July and August. And here I am sitting. I still work a couple hours a day. And I just need to be shaken out of whatever I'm in. Because
Coach Norm's a go-getter, folks. He's not a guy. He's not a sit-around kind of guy. He's just constantly going with a cup of coffee in his hand, going somewhere and doing something. And all summer long, he was restricted. He really couldn't leave his house because of he was having some severe pain issues with his legs. So they put him in one of those boot casts so he couldn't drive. He couldn't push on the accelerator in his car. So they, you know, he's been locked up for quite a while. He's out and about now. But for a guy who Norm, as we all know, Mark Trump, Norm draws energy from other people. He creates energy in other people when he's around them. But he draws energy from being with other people, and he hasn't been able to be with people. So from that standpoint, he's in a little bit of a funk. Coach, before we pray, I want you to tell the story because it's near and dear to my heart. Coach Norm and I were, as I said, we knew each other back in our lost days. I found the Lord the Lord found me in 1988, and did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent, I tell people. It was immediate. It was immediate. It's a change in my life. It's immediate. The next time I ran into Coach Norm, I wasn't that same old beer-drinking, carousing, cussing guy that I'd always been when we locked up together at London High School. Norm and I team taught. I was in one – they put us in closets. We had special ed kids. That's what they did back then. I was in one closet. Norm, I'd knock on the wall, and Norm was over on the other closet, and we became really, really good friends. But Norm tells a story when we were standing out the first year that we started to coach again. It would have been 1990 football season when I talked about renewing your mind. Would you share that, Norm? You remember that moment when we were standing out there in front? We didn't even have a practice field. We practiced in front of the high school.
Yeah, we had that old field there. And, of course, getting back with you and coming back to London and hooking up with your coach, and I was looking forward to that first week working with you, that first day. And I got to know you a little bit during the summer. We'd gone to a clinic and all that. And then talking about renewal of the football program that day and renewing your mind and taking it from Romans and that. And I came off the field that day, and I'm walking out, and I'm walking back to the school, and I said, listen, there's something in Coach Dalemeyer that I can't even explain. And from that day forward, that was August 1st, 1990, which was 31 years ago, he has had a tremendous influence in me, in my Christian walk. As many of you know, I've been Lutheran for 40 years or whatever, and look out the windows and all that stuff. from that day forward, August 1st, 1990, he changed my life forever. We got involved in Promise Keepers for about the next 10 years, and just to go there and be there. And, I've told the story, 80,000 people at the Silver Dome, and I walked from the last seat with my oldest boy down to the front, and the praying that went over me, and all of a sudden I felt a huge wind just engulf me and my son there on that floor. And every day since then, I've been a different Christian. I just thank Coach every day for what he's done for me, my family, my boys. And he changed my life. And, you know, it's that thing where you see people and how they act, and then you see them outside of how they act. And that was just unbelievable. I said, this is a new guy in Christ, and he turned me into a new guy in Christ.
Amen. Boy, oh, boy.
And And so he changed my life forever. As he's changing your lives and you're changing his lives. You guys here, these 120 guys, and he tells you all the time, I'm sure, okay, he's coaching you, but you're giving him stuff that he's going to remember eternally. And this is one of the greatest teams I've ever been assembled, and I'm humbled just to be a part of it, and I'm mad as heck that I can't be with you guys. But I also know that I'm in a quandary. I'm not doing, my mind's not right. So if you would take a minute here before I go to work and maybe pray over me, especially you 110 guys that I love, if someone would just reach out, I'd just really appreciate it.
I'm just going to open it up and somebody go ahead. What time Father, do you have to leave? Hang on a second. I'm sorry, Lee. How much time do you have, Coach Norm, before you got to leave here?
I just can leave whenever.
Okay. Go ahead, Lee. I'm sorry.
Father God, we're learning to trust you that your will for each of us is the best future each of us can have. Father God, we put our trust in you and your will for Coach Norm's future. That no matter what it appears or what it feels like at the instant, that we know that the biggest victories, the best future for him is to bow down and trust your will, and we place his future in your hands right now.
Father God, we thank you. Lord, I lift up Coach E to you right now. And Father, I pray, God, your spirit of encouragement upon him, Lord, as David stirred himself up in the Lord. Father, I would pray right now, as Coach E would say, why wouldn't you? Because, Lord, you are a great God, and Coach E knows that. And greater is he who is in Coach E than he who is in the world. And Father, I speak healing over Coach E from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, spirit, soul, and body. Lord, I pray, God, that in these years, Father, and days to come, that him and his bride continue to grow closer and more madly in love with one another. And above all, you, Lord, we pray over his whole household. And, Lord, we thank you for the games, for the victories that are yet to be played and yet to be won in your mighty name, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I like to say, Coach Norm, Father God, break that quandary, Father God. Bring divine in his life to keep his money. Put him in a direction. Father God, to give that protective hedge around him and kick that devil's thoughts out of the mind. Help him to be focused on your word, Father God, to bring forth courage and strength and boldness. I know it's hard in the transition, Father God, and I feel and have empathy, Father God. Give him strength and get out of his funk, his fog. In Jesus' name I pray.
Lord, we come to lift Coach E to you this morning. Lord, we just thank you for just all the blessings that he is to people around him. Lord, we thank you for his spirit. Lord, we just thank you for the team that he is on. Lord, you know his future. Lord, you know you still have a plan for him, a mighty plan for this man's life. As he retires out of football, Lord, he's ready to write that next chapter. And I ask you to just touch him with that magnificent healing that only you can give. Lord, touch his knees, touch his feet. Do a mighty work in him. Fill him with that Holy Spirit, Lord. Encourage him, keep him lifted on high, and help us to be able to keep him lifted on high, to raise his arms as he goes through this battle. Lord, we thank you for him and all the blessings he's given to us, Lord. And he is going to continue to bless your mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God, we know that Coach Norm has a voice of giants. Whenever he's out there, his voice carries throughout the land. Be with him, Lord. Make him one of us again.
Yes.
Bring him to sky high. Show him where the voice comes from, Lord. We know Coach Norm is taking another step in life with his wife. Be with us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord God, we just ask that you just give Norm supernatural healing and restoration of his knees and his joints and his body, Lord. Just give him the strength to constantly go into the battle and give him encouragement and strength in Jesus' name. We pray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, bless you, folks. See, folks.
You guys are the best. I love every one of you. I can't wait to be with you.
Amen. Amen. Listen, folks. You know what makes the Dead Sea dead? Anybody know what makes the Dead Sea dead? I wrote a thing on Dead Sea Christianity. Maybe I need to. That's where most people are, Dead Sea Christianity.
Hey, Coach, it's salt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Dead Sea's dead because there's an inflow, but there's no outflow. That's the American Christian. They got a lot of stuff flowing in, a lot of salt flowing into them, a lot of Bible reading and Bible studies and all that, but most of them aren't flowing out. It's Dead Sea Christianity. And what Norm is suffering right now is Dead Sea Christianity. He doesn't have any outlet. He's always out there every day, you know, yelling at kids, right, working with kids, working with coaches, coaching people. And they've set him in, they've made him sit in that house, and he's become the Dead Sea. So we just pray that river start flowing through you again, Coach E, that salt, you're a salty guy, that the salt of the earth would begin to flow through you again. I want to, just as we wrap it up here, I want to do two things real quickly. I want to tell a story, and then I want to play something. I don't know how many years ago, well, I lost track of time, 10 years ago now, I don't remember. I'd walked away from teaching and coaching, and you don't have to study, go too far back into, you don't have to Google too far to find out about the situation that Michelle and I and our son found himself in. And I remember the devastation of that moment. And I called Norm. Told him what was going on, and it was kind of dicey, not something that you won't tell anybody about, you know, but Norm is my best friend. I called him. And as I was telling him what was going on, he had a really strange reaction. In fact, he was very, very, very quiet on the other end, just kind of, uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. As I'm telling him what's going on, he said, okay, thanks, Coach. Thanks for letting me know. And hung up the phone. And I thought, man, that's kind of odd response from Coach Norm. It's not like him. He's full of energy and enthusiasm, and that wasn't the response I thought I'd get from him. But I went on. I continued doing something at the house. I don't remember what it was, as I was trying to swim my way out of that misery that Michelle and I were getting ready to enter into. And about 40 minutes later, he comes walking in my door.
He's a giant coming to your door, Coach.
I'll never forget that, E. Nobody had to tell him. He just got in his car and he came.
Coach, that's what this group is about. This is your team here, and Jeff will come all the way from Denver in a heartbeat, and my boy there from Jersey will come. Larry will be there, and all you guys in a heartbeat. You will do the same thing for Dave, whether it's his family or whatever he needs. Amen. That's the team that you guys. That's the team that you guys are, man. I can't even explain it. If you guys would come together and start marching, you'd kick some cities and wipe everything off the earth.
Amen.
130, 50 of you together. Look out, man. You're the team.
So, Coach, I've come to the realization that as much as I try not to say it, this is the body of Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't want to call it church, right? I don't want to call it church. No. Randy's the one that tipped it off. So I can't believe it. In all my life, I never thought that you could have friends like this.
It's amazing.
Amen.
Spencer, go ahead real quick. Bring that song up and just bask in this a second. For the Lord, Holy Spirit woke me up. It wasn't 3:33, Steve, but I was awakened last night, and this was in my head. Go ahead and play that real quick, if you will.
The road is long, with many a winding So on we go. His welfare is my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. For I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy. My brother. It's a long, long road. From the weeds there is no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share?
Coach Norm, I got to tell you this, brother. You left a mark, brother. Everywhere you went, you left a mark. And just want you to know how much I love you, buddy.
I would just hope that mark would be something that would raise up the name of the Lord, whatever I did, wherever I did, and that's the most important thing. And as I listen to that song, He's My Brothers, man. This is one of the most powerful groups I've ever think the Lord assembled. I'm looking here, man. I listen to you every day. I'm with you sometimes and all that. There is more power in this group than in any team that I've ever seen. And just, he's my brother. He's my sister. Look at the sisters you have in here and who they are and how they speak. And I'm just blessed today. I'm going to be riding high on my way to work. I'm going to try through your prayers and through the Lord to change my mindset here over the next couple months. And I'm going to work real hard to see it sky high. I love all you guys. Thank you for your prayers and love you all.
Amen, Coach Norm. Amen. Clay, come on in there. Thanks, E. God bless
Amen.
You. God bless you, man.
Yeah, Coach Norm, I just wanted to tell you, brother, you're one of them guys. I met you only about 2 years ago up at Sky High. Was the first time I met you. And when you open that mouth of yours and that voice come out, my wife jumped about 2 feet off her seat, brother. All it did was put a big smile on my face. And I knew instantaneously, within a minute, that I loved Coach Norm. I can tell right then that you're one of them people that you wish you knew your whole life, and you wish you would have played football for, and you wish you lived down the street from so you could go see and visit them. And when you when I look on Facebook, I don't get on there, you know, very often, but when I see your little icon with that thumb raised, that always brightens my day. And the times I've been around you, I've enjoyed it, and I look forward to seeing you more and more. And God bless you. And if you didn't have, even if you didn't have that big booming voice that you got, you got a big shining light that shines around, and you would still be seen, brother.
Hillary's hearing that voice in her sleep, Norm. I bet you that. Hey, Spencer, pull up real quick. It says BAC Champs picture. Throw that up there real quick.
Do you hear me, Dave?
But yeah, we hear you.
Hey, I just want to say something real quick. I was just leaving, but Clay came in, and I want to tell you a quick story, very quick. I met Clay at Sky High, and I still can remember him underneath that tent with me. And I met him and his wife, and I don't know if it was the first time that he was with us. I can't remember. He could tell you that. And how quiet he was. And then I started telling him all about you and all that. And I keep thinking about that every time I see Clay, and to see what he's done in the last 2 years. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
Can't even imagine. So I told you, he's talking quietly with him and his wife about you. And I think it was the first time. I don't know.
I told him he earned his varsity letter, folks.
Holy moly. And then I said, my goodness.
Coach, on the screen, I don't know if you can see it. Folks, that's worst to first. 1-9 to 10-0. 19, that's last year, Coach Norman.
Where's Waldo?
Huh?
Where's Waldo?
Where's Waldo?
I'm way in the back here. I'm right there. You can't see me.
Oh, Coach, you're all over every one of those guys.
Hey, guys, I got to go. Love you all. You made my day. And see you, Jeff, baby, out there in Denver and New Jersey. And Larry, that's the people I can see. Amen. And have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach. See you, man. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, I got to tell the people, I won't forget. I mean, I've been in some dugouts. I've been in some football locker rooms. Remember that time you guys were in a playoff game? You said, you want to come down, hang on the sideline with us? I said, oh, I would love to. And I'll remember, I don't remember anything about the game. All I remember is in that locker room. My goodness. I mean, I've been in some locker rooms where there's been some hollering and screaming and kicking things and craziness. But Coach E reached into every one of them kids, the heart he has. I was sitting there blown away watching him just reach into every one of them kids, a personal message to him. And some of it was something out of the Bible, this character, maybe Moses, maybe Jeremiah, whatever. And them kids were glued to him. The heart that he had, the enthusiasm, he just fired them kids up. And they listened to him.
He's the real deal. He's the real deal. Yeah. Amen. Thanks, Jeff. Roger, then producer. That's a new one. Rod, it's probably Vinny. Roger, go ahead.
Oh, quickly. If I can remember the new Lex days, I can remember I used to love to, you wouldn't let all of us in the locker room before the game. The fathers would kind of hang out outside. And I can remember hearing the yelling and screaming inside that locker room and motivation, whatever you want to call it. But I can remember as the team came out, their eyes, they were so focused. They were ready to go to battle. And I knew, obviously, that you played a key role in that. But the boys, the young men at FCA that I observed, they loved Norm. But I can remember them strolling out arm in arm, two and two, and their eyes.
Yep.
Their eyes were ready. And yeah.
The eye of the tiger.
I pray that you continue to bring that.
Yeah, we are.
They were ready, and it was just a wonderful experience. That little one, and many more could be shared. So we love you, Norm.
Yeah, amen, amen. Mel, come on in, and then Jeff. No, Jeff, you already came in. Mel.
Good morning, everybody. The first time I met Norm was at Planned Parenthood. He was across the street holding a sign, and I introduced myself to him, and he said, "Yeah, I'm just waiting for God to tell me to talk, because I didn't know, him at all. But and then to kind of follow him on some of the trips that you guys went on, he definitely is a presence. But I wanted to just mention to you today, I'm kind of going into battle today. The Fairfield County Commissioners have delegated the people from our Liberty Group to the back of the room.
Oh, so my.
you can call me Rosa Parks today. I'm going to go sit right in the front of that room, and I'm just going to dare them to move me. I met a lady from a local ecclesia group, and so we're meeting to have a cup of coffee, and then we're walking up to the commissioner's meeting, and we are going to sit right in the area that we're not supposed to sit in. So,
hey, man, anyway. Right. Righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. You go get them, Mel.
All right. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. God bless you, man. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, Stephanie. Stephanie says, when you and Norm get together, your auras blend bright as the sun. Praise the Lord on that one, man. Okay, I don't turn this into the Coach Norm show, but I just, man, I'm, the point, listen, here's the point. Randy is saying the same thing, folks. This, we got something going on. We got something going on in here. And it ain't heavy. We're brothers. We have to act like that. Amen. Yes. Boom. Boom on Randy. Randy's doing better. Yes, Randy is doing better, folks. And he appreciates all your prayers and everything. I want to show you something else. Oh, by the way, our daughter Maggie, just please continue to pray for Maggie. She we really don't have any more news from you than what we had last time. And she, you know, I saw her and her and the babies yesterday, and you know, she's good. And as we've all talked about, the devil tries to throw fear, tries to cast fear into you. And perfect love casteth out fear. Pray for my wife too, because she has a mother's heart towards her daughters. You guys know that, you understand. And you know, we old tough guys, we brush it off, or at least we get busy doing stuff so we don't have to think about it. And so, you know, the love of a love of two mommies, Michelle and then Maggie, is, well, that's a powerful, powerful source. My buddy Pastor Tom Gill sent me something yesterday. He actually sent it to me this morning. Psalm 73. Spencer, could you pull that up there real quickly? I want to show this with you. Is Silver in here? He's quiet. If he is, I don't know. Maybe I don't see him in there. This is really, really appropriate. Psalm 73. But I'm going to do what I hardly ever do. I'm going to read Psalm 73 from the Message Bibles. So, Spencer, all you got to do is go to that link and just kind of scroll up to the Message Bible. You guys know how I feel about the Message, right?
Uh-huh.
It's just somebody who's written a book using the scripture. That's kind of how I feel about it. But I was reading this after Pastor Tom sent this to me today. I went to the Message. I thought, oh my goodness, that is so good. So folks, read the King James Version or whatever version you read. Read it. But listen to how the Message Bible says Psalm 73. Go ahead, Joe.
Psalm 73. No doubt about it. God is good. Good to good people. Good to the good hearted. But I nearly missed it. I miss seeing his goodness. I was looking the other way, looking up to the people at the top and envying the wicked who have nothing to worry about, not a care in the whole wide world.
Get it? So David's saying, I was looking at all, instead of focusing on the Lord and focusing on what I'm doing, I'm looking up all these guys, these people in Hollywood, these people in politics, these people that made, I'm looking up at them. Go ahead, Joe.
Pretentious with arrogance, they wear the latest fashions in violence. Pampered and overfed, decked out in sick silk bows of silliness.
Amen.
They jeer, using words to kill. They bully their way with words. They're full of hot air. Loud mouths disturbing the peace. People actually listen to them. And you believe it? Like thirsty puppies, they lap up their words. What's going on here? Is God out to lunch? Nobody's tending the store. The wicked get by with everything. They have it made, piling up riches. I've been stupid to play by the rules. What has it gotten me? A long run of bad luck that's what. A slap in the face every time I walk out the door. If I have given in and talked like this, if I had given in and talked like this, I would have betrayed your dear children. Still, when I tried to figure it out, all I got was a splitting headache. Until I entered the sanctuary of God, then I saw the whole picture, the slippery road you've put them on, with a final crash in a ditch of delusions. In a blink of an eye, disaster, a blind curve in the dark, and nightmare. We wake up and rub our eyes. Nothing. There's nothing to them, and there never was.
There's nothing to them, and there never was. There's nothing to Hillary Clinton, and there never was. There's nothing to Obama, and there never was. There's nothing to Joe Biden, and there never was.
When I was beleaguered and bitter, totally consumed by envy, I was totally ignorant, a dumb ox in your very presence. I'm still in your presence, but you have taken my hand. You wisely and tenderly led me, and then you bless me. You're all I want in heaven. You're all I want on earth. When my skin sags and my bones get brittle, God is rock firm and faithful. Look, those who left you are falling apart. Deserters, they'll never be heard from again. But I'm in the very presence of God. Oh, how refreshing it is. I've made Lord God my home. God, I'm telling the world what you do.
That's pretty profound, isn't it? That is pretty profound. Now, you can read the King James Version, and you won't get that out of it. But that is it, isn't it? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Yeah, we know, man. I hear somebody coming in. Yeah, come on in.
Have you ever heard the saying, the sweetest food in the woods is usually by the snare that the Lord sets?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's food in that trap for a reason, isn't it, Craig? For sure. Go ahead, Larry.
Now, this is a prime example of why, even with the King James, reading the scriptures without the Holy Spirit is totally useless. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit was able to take that message interpretation and do things with it that the King James wouldn't do in most people's lives. So it's the Holy Spirit that counts in getting into scripture, not the translation of the scripture.
Well, Larry, that's a mic drop. I don't say that about you very often. That is a mic drop. That is the truth, isn't it, friends? Huh? That somehow, and sometimes I'm the worst, I like the King James. I have a great rhythm with the King James. But the message right there, the Holy Spirit can speak to the message, can he? But I say, you can't, what, Mike, I can't go around, quoting the Message Bible, right? People won't get it. It's not scripture. Whatever that means, it's the spirit behind it anyway. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, that's a good example. You're talking about Randy. Yesterday, the Holy Spirit was working mightily in the office of the car lot. I tried to get a hold of Randy a few times, and I knew he probably didn't want to talk. So I just texted him and said, hey, whenever you get time, you feel like it, call me. He called yesterday, and it was amazing because at the end of that last sentence there, God, I'm telling the world what you do. That's what Ricky Miller is doing right now. Well, guess who was sitting at my desk when Randy called? Ricky Miller. Mm-hmm. So we got to do a three-way, me, Ricky, and Randy. And Randy struggled a little bit talking. I said, Randy.
Sorry, you guys did a three-way? You guys had three-way sex?
Oh, that's real fun.
You can't do your own show, dude? What, you're so pathetic you have to come in on my show? Are you kidding me? You're that pathetic?
You better not do that again, idiot.
Huh? Well, he can come in and do it. It's all right.
No, he can't be in here.
Anyways, we're talking to Randy.
Yeah, go. It's okay. Look, hey, folks, you're all I want in heaven. You're all I want on earth. When my skin sags. Hey, Joe, anybody got that skin sagging? Anybody got that thing? When my skin sags, my bones get brittle, God is rock firm and faithful. Deserters, they'll never be heard of it. They'll never hear Hillary or Barack Obama. I'm in the very presence of God. Oh, how refreshing it is. I've made Lord God my home. God, I'm telling the world what you do. Hey, it's been a heavy show. Let me switch gears on you here real quickly. Go to the Babylonian Bee. It's the third thing down. That's why my wife said to me, she said, honey, your show's always so heavy. It's always so heavy. I said, well, it's just the truth. Well, you want me? Come on. You want to feel good? Go watch Joel Osteen. I'm just telling you the truth. So the Babylonian Bee, I don't know if you guys know the Babylon Bee, is a satire site. It's a satire site. Every day, they got all kinds of great stuff on here. So on the satire site today, by the way, they're getting ready to lock us down again. It's coming. Come on, it's coming. I'm not gonna take a happy show and make it sad. It's coming. It's coming. So the Babylon Bee today says that to defeat Delta variant, experts recommend doing all the things that didn't work the first time. Scroll down through there, Spencer. It's so true. This is so true. Can you make it a little larger for me?
Hey, Coach, can I throw in a forget about it?
Yeah, forget about it. Forget about it. U.S. to defeat the massive, scary, definitely world-ending wave of COVID being driven by the Delta variant of the deadly, frightening disease you should remain afraid of for the rest of your life, experts are recommending we try all the things that didn't work the first time. From wearing masks and social distancing to locking everyone down, destroying the economy, experts are all suggesting that we just try the same things that we did last time that didn't work at all. We're going to lock down, wear masks, social distance, all of which didn't work. But hey, it's worth trying again, said Dr. Anthony Fauci this morning on a TV interview. If at first you don't succeed, try again. That's what they taught us in science school. Look at my lab coat. It's white. Do you like it? It has pockets. The television anchor then assured Dr. Fauci that his pockets were very nice. Thanks. I also have the heartbeat thingy. I like to breathe on it to warm it up. Makes me look official and doctory and whatnot. At publishing time, experts had clarified that while we're going to do the same things that didn't work over and over again, we're going to be doing them harder this time. And that's it, isn't it? Again, isn't that where we are? Come on in, Dale. Rescue me.
Amen. Amen, Coach. And John Dumbbell Edwards in the state of Louisiana, which is the lowest vaccinated state in the union. So who's going back underneath their dummy diaper on the face mandate? Louisiana starts tomorrow. If the people of Louisiana refuse the vaccine and if the people of Louisiana would refuse the mask, we would shut this moron down. I'm going to be calling Tony Spell to see how it is, brother, because there ain't going to be no masks in my church. I don't hand out masks, and there ain't going to be any at the door. So we're going to see what's going to happen, what's going to percolate with this moron coming up. This starts again tomorrow.
They're pushing us to push back. There's no doubt in my mind this is what's going on. Hey, I made a note to myself here. JR, if you're out there, how did your meeting go last night at the city council meeting? Are you in there, JR? I didn't scroll down there and see everybody's in here. He's usually listening.
It went good.
Tell us about it real quickly, brother, if you can.
Well, first of all, they had the meeting to talk about whether they should control COVID in businesses in the city. They had that conversation. It was a one-sided conversation. One lady just did an incredible job. But the other city council members were they wouldn't have anything to do about it. They basically said they're not going to discuss it. Okay, but the problem is they've opened up the door. They've begun the discussion. And that's what needed to happen. So it's a good sign. We're going to have to apply a lot of pressure. There was about 50 people I met with after the meeting. And most of them are committed. So this is going to be very interesting. Very interesting.
Grassroots pushback, right, JR?
Absolutely.
Grassroots, folks, get your eyes off Washington, D.C. I was going to pull this up. I don't know if I have time. Spencer, pull up Wayne Root down at the bottom. This is a good article. We don't have time to go through it. It says the vaccine isn't working, but the gravy train is. And he goes through all the money that's being handed out to the to all of these agencies to get them to cooperate with the vaccines. Professional athletes getting paid, politicians being paid, all this stuff's going on. So there's something big going on behind the scenes that for some reason wants us masking up and vaccinating again and again. And so until we have the eyes to see and the understanding, we're not going to realize what's going on. Go ahead, Mark.
Wonder if there was a wonder if they paid them to become corrupted before the times of Noah. Wonder if people got land. Wonder what the Nephilim used to entice the people before Noah, Coach, because they all did.
Nothing new under the sun.
What happened when there was five people left? You think there's a ceremony right before Noah was the only one left? What'd they offer him, Coach?
I don't know. What did they offer, man? You know something, though, right? It was going on.
They had to.
So again, the system has been so corrupted that as we begin to look at it and what we're going to do and remember what it said back in Psalm 73. Go back there real quick, Spence, if you can. Can you flip that thing back up there? There you go, bud. Go to the top, please. Go to the top. No doubt about it. God is good. Good to good people. Good to the good hearted. But I nearly missed it. Hey, amen. I almost missed it. He was good. Why? Because I was looking the other way. I was looking at the other people, the top. I was looking at the wicked, envying them and how they're lining their money and their pockets with money and how they're getting away with it. I've been looking at them and who have nothing to worry about, not a care in the whole world. Pretentious with arrogance. They wear their latest fashions and violence. They're pampered and overfed. Yeah, we got our eyes on the wrong thing. Got our eyes on the wrong thing. Come on in, Myra.
Hey, Coach. I didn't want to interrupt, but it's our money.
It's our money. It's our money. It's our money. Oh, don't get me going on that. Come on in, Myra.
Good morning, Saints. How are you? I'm so blessed to hear that Randy's doing better. I wanted to ask you, how is Maggie doing? Thank you.
Thank you. Maggie is fighting the emotional fight. As many of you know, they lost a baby, you know, about a year ago, I think it was now. And so, you know, fear is. Fear hath torment, right? And so she's doing great. She's doing great. That's just the happiest little family. Those three little daughters that she has, and they're so excited about their new little brother coming. Isn't it just like the devil to come in and poop in the punch bowl? Isn't that just what he does? And so I just continually remind her every day that it's all going to be okay. He's just trying to poop all the way down your path. That's all he's trying to do and make it unenjoyable. That little baby is fearfully and wonderfully made. And I just pray that you just, again, y'all, if you would, just keep praying for her, Maggie, and praying for Michelle and encouragement to help them to learn to encourage themselves in the Lord. They love the Lord. They believe in the Lord. They trust in the Lord. But we all know that battle is real. Isn't that right, Larry? That battle is real. And faith is what? Faith is believing what you cannot see. If you can see it, it ain't faith. It ain't faith, folks. It's evidence of what you can't see. So Maggie's standing strong. Michelle's standing strong. We're all standing strong. And little baby's heart's beating fast. We saw pictures of him the other day. And, you know, the devil just wants to keep, he just wants to keep pooping in the pictures. That's going on. So it's an emotional, mental battle. And we just appreciate all your support. Man, what a team we have here. What a team. And, you know, we don't want anybody here bearing their burdens alone. So you got to let us know if you have an issue, financial issue, something that's weighting you down, you got to let us know. We want to be the body of Christ. We want to function as a body. You ain't heavy. You're my brother. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.